I am in the awkward position of introducing myself. I am Jacqueline Watson, and welcome to day two of our 48th annual conference on immigration and nationality law. We had a great day yesterday, so excited to be back and see what today has in store. I am practicing here in Austin. I went to UT and have been working with this program since as long as I can probably remember. And I am the minor character on this panel for sure. I am joined by the indomitable Richard Fisher, who we all know and love, who has been participating in this program for definitely longer than I can remember.
Since you were a baby girl.
Since I was a little baby girl. And Richard practices in Nacogdoches. We know him as our federal litigator extraordinaire here in Texas and in the Fifth Circuit, and we just love him so much. And we are joined, this is such a treat, we are joined by Cyrus Mehta from New York. And if you don't read his blog, please, at some point, not while our panel is going on, at some point, look it up and read his blog daily. He is just a wealth of knowledge, amazing. He is a graduate of Cambridge in Columbia. Now, you know, second only to UT Law for sure. We are going to be talking to you today about, as you can see, we have a pattern going from yesterday. We're going to continue on today. When the spit hits the fan in naturalization cases. So let us begin.
Cyrus, we are getting, particularly with adjustment interview waivers, more and more naturalization cases where immigration, when a person files an N-400, where immigration finds what they believe is a defect in the underlying permanent residence, and they deny that naturalization based on the reason that the person was never lawfully admitted for permanent residence. What can you do when that happens?
Yeah, so that's actually the topic of today's panel. When spit hits the N-400, or it's a euphemism for another word, I think.
Sure.
So the key issue is that when you want to represent a client in a naturalization proceeding, don't view it as a very simple case, just completing the N-400. You want to kind of review the entire history of the applicant's immigration record. Some applicants have been here for 20, 30, 40 years. They may have started off with a removal proceeding, got involuntary departure, may have filed an asylum application that was done by a preparer that may have been fabricated and bogus and completely buried and forgotten, and now it raises its ugly head in the N-400 interview. So if somebody had filed an asylum application stating that they were part of a political organization, they were arrested, and now the examiner says, you said all that in your naturalization and your asylum application. You haven't indicated you're a member of a political organization in the N-400. You haven't indicated that you were arrested. But there's a discrepancy here. And then it's explained, well, you know, that was actually, I was very young. Somebody misled me. I filed it. I went before an immigration judge. It was withdrawn. I got voluntary departure. Well, but then you should have admitted in your adjustment of status application when you got your permanent residence that you had misrepresented or lied. You know, those kind of questions are asked, and you didn't answer that during your adjustment process. And now in the N-400, you've also failed to disclose that. So that's very problematic when that happens. And You can argue that there was no intention to misrepresent or provide a fraudulent application, but then the USCIS's justification is, well, you should have filed a waiver, you know, you should have disclosed it and filed a waiver or dealt with it during the adjustment of status interview.